The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And in coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. There are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandments, but cling to human traditions." He went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever curses father or mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is korban,' meaning dedicated to God, you allow him to do nothing more for his father or mother. You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you've handed on. And you do many such things." The Gospel of the Lord. Someone once said that he read the Bible from cover to cover, which means he read the first part of the book, Bible to cover, then he read the last part, just opening it and closing it, no? That's not good enough, is it, no? Now, there's an American expression, you can't know the book by its cover. You can't know the book by its cover, you have to read. So really, for you to understand the whole Bible, you have to read especially Genesis, which we're reading right now. And we've been reading just for the past 2 days. We've only read parts of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But I reiterate, to understand the whole Bible, Genesis is the foundation of the whole Bible. It's setting the groundwork for understanding the other 72 books in the Bible. Catholics have 73 books. This is the first book. As Shane was reading it, I was just, so many ideas were just coming up as he was reading it, so many topics that we can discuss, but I'll give you a couple for lack of time. First is, yesterday I gave you a homily on the rain, okay? A homily on rain. Obviously, you never heard a homily like that before, but the rain, we have a little bit of rain this morning. It's a blessing, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. So you might meditate once again on my homily that you had yesterday, or go into my podcast and you can hear it again. But today, two or three ideas with creation. One is, do any of you know what pantheism is? Okay, two or three of you, no? It's important you understand what pantheism is. Okay, before George Washington, we had a lot of Indians in the United States. Navajo, Sioux, many, many Indians. You go to the East Coast, it would be the Mohawks and the Iroquois that live in the time of Isaac Joves. Many, 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 many Indians. Still there are Native Americans. They Many of them were pantheists. They practiced totemism and other different types of religion. But pantheism would be this, is that creation, all the beautiful things in creation is God. We don't believe that. Or if you do, you're a heretic. Hopefully you'll change today. There's a very, very minute distinction. They believe that the sun is God. They believe that the moon is God. They believe that the sky is God. They believe, in other words, the world is God. We don't believe that. What we believe is we believe that creation comes from God, but it's apart from God. God existed even before the world was created. We hear God creating the world today. God's creating the sun, the moon, the water, the fish, the cattle, the animals. And God was happy even before the creation of the world. Did you know that? God does not depend on the world. Philosophy, we say the world is a contingent being. Contingent means that creation depends upon the creator. So it's very important that you understand what pantheism is. You get some Catholics that are pantheists. They don't even know it. No, they'll actually attribute the fact that this created reality is God, God Himself. So the point I'm trying to make is this, is the beauty of creation is a reflection of the Creator who's apart from creation. So when you're admiring the sun or the moon or the stars, you're admiring the majesty of what God Himself created. Is that clear? Very important you understand that. And when even when the Holy Father wrote the document on creation, basically on nature and creation, about 2 years ago, we have to specify that we should never adore anything that God created, but who created it, and that is God. Amen? Okay, second point I'd like to make is this. Everything in creation is good. It's good. When you have bad things that happen, it's because of man abusing creation. And that we call sin. We could give many definitions for sin. But one definition is God, the man is abusing the created reality that we have here. Another point is this. I have not gone to many aquariums, but I have gone to the Long Beach one about 10 years ago. And what I really admired is this. Have you ever gone to it? Oh, I mean, it's beautiful. What I admire is you just look at the fish, and every fish is different. Some are big, some are small, some are bland, some are very colorful, some have spines. One of the most incredible ones is the horsefish. You ever see the horsefish? You know, it looks like a little horse, but it's a fish. So what we glean from the reading today is our God is not a boring God. Our God is a God of variety. Once my uncle said that God could have created the world in black and white, but what about the colors, no? God could have said, okay, I create black and white and that's it. But think of, you've seen maybe a rainbow, right? How many colors in the rainbow? Any of you know? How many?
Seven.
Now God put aside, it's just, okay, one color in the arc and that's going to be orange or red. But there's seven colors. And that's beautiful. So our God is a God of variety. If you're boring, it's your fault. It's not God's fault, okay? If you're bored, okay? You're boring and bored, that's your fault. But God is never boring. God is never inactive. All of you studied a little bit of physics. God does not have inertia. Inertia, which means what? Inactivity. God is always working. God is not stagnant. Now, the next point is this. Of all creation, Question. Of all creation, what is the crown of creation? What? Okay, so man and woman too. We don't want to be, okay, we don't want to offend the women here, right? So man and woman are the crown of creation. Now everything you've listened today, and you heard also the beginning of Adam and Eve, you're going to be arriving at Adam and Eve sooner or later. God created everything for us. How great God is. And that's why we say, oh Lord our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Beautiful Psalm, Psalm 8. Beautiful Psalm. Oh Lord our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. So everything out there, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything, God created for you and for me. So thank God for that. Be humble and thank God for that. And he used everything. He created everything as a ladder by which we can ascend to heaven. Everything. Sin is a stumbling block. Instead of using, we abuse. It's a stumbling block. But we should use creation as a ladder. You ever climb a ladder? The rungs by which you go to the top of the ladder, you arrive at the roof. Our roof is not the roof, it's heaven. Remember Jack and the Beanstalk? Okay, remember all of Jack and the Beanstalk, right? You probably learned that when you're a little kid, right? We want to keep climbing and climbing. We don't want to fall off the ladder, do we? No? We don't want to be like Rumpelstiltskin. Remember him? No, we want to keep climbing and climbing and climbing to make it to the very top. So use creation well. The last thing I'd like to say is, okay, another question. What was the first command God made in the Bible? You heard it today. Shane, you said the whole thing. Be fertile. Okay, or increase and multiply, okay? Be fertile. Increase and multiply. What does that mean? I think it's a no-brainer. It means have kids. Right? Have kids. Have children. Like, what is the opposite of that? Huh? Abortion and what else? Okay, so abortion and contraception is the exact opposite. That's the world in which we live, right? Those are two of the principal problems in the world today. We do not obey the first order in creation. That's the big problem. We've already talked about abortion. What, 61 million abortions since Roe versus Wade? Is that more or less the number? Now, if you talk about chemical abortions, you know, by means of chemical hormones, it's going to be what, 200 to 300 million more. Remember Father Greg Stubbs said that 15 years ago, it was probably 400 million. Huge numbers. Okay, so the point I like to make is this. Okay, your grandparents now, maybe even your parents. Your grandparents, how many children did they have? 14? 13? If they're Hispanics, and probably Filipinos too, it would probably be in between 8 and 20. I'd say an average number would be about 14. There were 9, a smaller family, okay? Okay, say the average number is 12 or 13. Why didn't you have 12 or 13? And I think the basic reason, okay, don't fight me in the sacristy afterward, is selfishness. Selfishness. Because your grandmother in Mexico or the Philippines probably barely had enough food to eat. Right? I'd work with a lot of Mexicans. They barely had enough food to eat. How many children, grandfather, grandma? Oh, she had 15. Well, did she complain about the lack of food? No, we just had frijoles y pan and poca de pan y cebolla, you know. We were able to get by. We were able to get by. Could she read and write? Well, she learned by herself. Did she milk the cow? Every morning. Did she complain? Never. Do you complain? Always. Huh? Did she go to Mass? Every Sunday. Did she pray? Even with those 14 kids, she prayed the rosary every day, sometimes two or three. Right? Isn't that true? So why do we, in the United States, we have everything? We got everything. Okay, I got two kids. Okay, vasectomy or tubal ligation. Selfishness. Pure selfishness. So maybe two or three are going to go in the sacristy, have a brawl with me, you know, after Mass. But I'm right. You're wrong. It's selfishness. The Muslims have having big families today, right? You go to Rome, you go to Europe. If you go to Europe, probably, I don't know how many years, they say in about 50 years, Europe is going to be more Muslim than Catholic. Rome, Italy, Paris. These cities, which were the most Catholic cities in the whole world for centuries upon centuries, are going to be taken over by the Muslims because of abortion and contraception, because they're not putting into practice their first command in the book of Genesis. So I invite you to read Genesis 1 and 2. Slowly, there are so many golden nuggets. Beautiful, but very challenging. Amen.